Hey, Pronosis, welcome back. We've got Lee Stewart back on the show telling about his journey hiring the first seven people. What roles were they going through, mental health challenges, and how he's pushed through that, which is huge. Getting into wholesaling DTF, procrastination versus trying to focus and do the things that you know you need to do, like SOPs and some of the boring stuff. We really, really dive into all this, and Lee is super open, which is amazing. But as usual, we've got an incredible gang of partners that help us every single week put this show on. First up, Graphics Pro Expo. Okay. It's happening Long Beach, August 21 to 23. Make sure to use that code HUSTLERS, all caps. That'll give you 50% off the registration fee. But there's a lot going on. There's the latest in screen printing, DTF, embroidery, and a bunch more. They've got GraphX Pro University for expert-led training that they're hosting. So get ready to level up your graphics game. They're going to be at Long Beach. It's going to be really cool. Next up, Stalls. Ready to take your custom apparel to the next level? Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Equipment, DTF, you guys know, I'm sure you've been to the website. There is a lot there. Stalls.com, whether you're a small business just starting out with an established brand that's scaling, or you're growing and getting started, you are able to use Stalls to simply heat press and profit. But this is really cool. They gave us a coupon code. So 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Use the code HUSTLER20. HUSTLER20, that gets you 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Get equipment, transfers, and support for your business all there. Print Profit. PrintProfit.com. Really happy to see this company continuing to grow. This helps you be able to see real-time profitability of your shop. They plug and play with Printavo. They plug and play with QuickBooks, other shop management solutions. You are able to run your shop in confidence, knowing exactly where you want to focus to be able to close better deals, increase margins, and grow profitability every day. Check them out and do a demo. You can get a free profit audit done with Nick, but really check out the platform. It is incredible to see the technology they're building. Multicraft. Have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing supplies have been around for 50 years, providing you with top brands at competitive pricing. Mention the Printavo podcast, that gets you 10% off your first order. And Dave at Multicraft is making incredible content on Instagram. Shoot him a follow, plus DM him your email address. He sends out PMI tape and all kinds of other goodies every single week. Thanks, Multicraft. Easy Way. Easy Way has got a new monthly giveaway program. Each month, they're going to be giving away $250 of prizes. I just got an email of their first winner, which is cool. Easyway.com/giveaway. Easy Way makes reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their chemicals and equipment. But honestly, get the $250 wrapped up. Enter it. Get your team to enter at easyway.com/giveaway. Last but definitely not least is the GraphX Source team. GraphX Source offers industry-leading outsourcing option for your shop, and they're truly a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo. They plug and play with all kinds of other shop management solutions, and they handle SEPs and mockups, creative art, order management, digitizing, and some customer service and back office admin. They've been around, though, for 40 years. This company's been around for a while. It's incredible. PrintavoPod24. That's the code. PrintavoPod24. That's 50% off your vector separate digitized order. Check them out. All right. Thanks, GraphX. And let's jump on it.
Power of the ocean is just like insane.
The ocean freaks me out. I don't even want to go in there. Yeah,
which is fair. Yeah. It should freak
there's
you out.
There's too many unknown variables. Yeah. Fucking sharks and shit. I don't want to deal with that.
Stingrays.
There are animals.
Yeah.
But, jellyfish. Yeah. Steven had a nice encounter with a stingray or two.
Just one.
But there's beautiful like dolphins and everything that pop up everywhere. So that's cool.
Mr. Lee Stewart. Fish is too smart. I don't want to be in the water with that.
Lee, you were recording, you were on Shirt Show and you had Rock. And one question that came up that this clip, I don't know, popped up in my feed, which was, I think it was something like getting to $1 million and starting to have a team. And his whole thing was you should not be in production or you shouldn't be on press at $1 million. And that was his biggest mistake people see. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because that popped up and I thought that was really cool. So much so that I reposted it too. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, he gave the world's best answer to that question. It was so solid and so thorough. But yeah, it was about getting yourself out of production, essentially, right? Getting out of the day-to-day stuff, getting out of the monotonous struggle, the things that can distract you from pushing the business forward, essentially. And that's really what it's about, is getting out of those, like you know, the problems on press or helping people print a shirt or, you know, embroidery things or whatever it may be. All these little things pulling you away from your duties as a business owner every day and distracting you from moving the needle forward, doing better marketing, getting better sales going, getting things that actually grow the business versus just keep the business running. And he gave the best answer on that. Like, I was sat there and just listened because he went off for a while. I was like, man, this is awesome advice. I took a few nuggets from that one.
How have you been making that transition? Because you know, I think a lot of people have followed your YouTube journey, being, you know, the solo guy there, making incredible content, to what seems to be, when I watched one of the later videos, is a couple people helping you, not in a negative way, but less videos, which I'm guessing means you're more busy in the business doing stuff. So what has that transition been like?
Different, that's for sure. It's hard. It's a lot to deal with. And that's kind of the path I'm on right now, is getting myself, removing myself from the business as much as possible. Because I kind of get in my own way a little bit. I get caught up in all that monotonous stuff we just talked about, like, you know, perfecting little things on press and teaching my guys this and that and whatever else. And they're always like little details that a customer just doesn't care about or wouldn't notice. But I notice them and they just drive me crazy. So I'm trying to learn how to control that a little bit. But yeah, I've been really working hard on getting myself into a more business owner position, which has been essentially like a lot of computer work, a lot of just fucking around, like creating SOPs and things like that and building systems for our business and things like that, which is awesome stuff to have. Cause once you have it, you can take that step back. You can disappear on vacation for a while and the place runs without you. And, but we've never had anything like that before. So it's been a lot to learn, a lot to take on. And obviously it's going to be a couple year journey of getting all that dialed to the point that I'm happy with it. But man, it's been different. That's for sure. Kind of taking a step back and trusting people to do the stuff that I never thought I'd trust them to do. Like, I never thought I'd trust someone to run my press ever. I thought I'd be on that forever. And now it's to the point where I'm like, I walk in the shop and if they need my help, I'm like, I don't even want to touch that thing. Get out of here. Like, I got other stuff to do.
Lee, what was the unlock for you? Like, I've been watching, you've been doing so much Lean Six Sigma stuff and like process improvement, like killing the question. I mean, I feel like every time I watch you now, like maybe in the last year, you've been putting in just so many processes in place. What happened for you? What was the unlock when it went from like, no, like I can't trust anyone, to wait, now I'm actually going to build this thing to run without me a little bit?
Last year, I kind of got kicked in the nuts a little bit with it. I had gotten sick and it was like 2 weeks where I was just like, oh, cold, like couldn't do nothing. And the whole business screeched to a halt without me. There was nothing anyone could do. I'm trying to direct people with like through text message. They could only do so much, right? Like I had no one who knew how to print, no one who knew how to really do anything other than the basics in the shop. And everything just like crumbled instantly. And I was like, man, this is not a good position to be in. This is bad. Like before, when I was by myself, that happened, it wasn't quite a big deal. Like there wasn't other people depending on me other than the clients and stuff. But now there's, you know, people depending on me to pay their rent and their, you know, feed their families and things like this. So now I have to be more responsible. And so yeah, that was a huge eye opener for me when that all happened, just how much the business relied on me. And that had to change. So I kind of just took a dive into learning about, you know, how I can fix this and creating systems and whatnot. And I had always heard about Lean for years. I remember Scott Garnett tried to get me on it years ago. But he had showed me Paul Akers. And I know a lot of people really like him in the industry, but at the same time, I saw him and I was like, I want nothing to do with whatever this guy is selling. Because the way the way that he does, like, he is the goofiest fucking presentation of Lean I've ever seen in my life. And just the way that they kind of do it in his business, like, it's a lot of like, you know, scrap cardboard and scrap wood, and just, it's all janky and shitty looking. And just like the way I run my business is very much not like that. I want things clean and perfect and modern and whatever else. When I saw that originally, I was like, yeah, no, this is stupid. And then I started diving down the YouTube rabbit hole of it. And I found a guy in Ireland named Ryan Tierney, and that changed everything. They were doing lean at a level that just immediately resonated with me. It was super high end, super well thought out. There was technology involved. It was no scrap cardboard or bullshit. It was amazing. And I just started watching everything he had. And after that, I was like, all right, this is what's going to fix my business now. So
how do you get motivated to work on the business? Right? Because I think like every day we wake up, we open up our laptops and we can start clicking emails, answering customers, scrolling. And then we're like, oh shit, I know I have to work on this, but we always fill up that time with the bullshit, like the noise. How do you actually compartmentalize, okay, I'm going to actually, and how do you hold yourself accountable to like, I'm going to put all the SOPs up for reclaim today and rebuild that whole process versus just procrastinating?
I do it old school. I carry around a notebook everywhere. I write down my list of tasks for the day that I want to get done. And they're non-negotiable. Those things are getting done no matter what. So if I gotta, you know, essentially in the middle of a conversation, tell someone like, sorry, I gotta go. That's happening. I pretty much write down usually a list of like 5 to 7 things, because 5 to 7 things is a small enough chunk that's manageable that you can kind of handle some of the other stuff that pops up throughout the day, but you're getting enough done to really kind of push the thing forward. So that's typically what I do every day, every morning or every night before I go to bed. I write out the list of tasks I need to do that kind of help the business. And then I usually add 1 or 2 more that are like things that will help grow us in the future. So that's making a new SOP or working on our new website or something like that. I always try and add like 1 hour of time to working in on something like that every day. And it's been helping. That's for sure. Like now we've got some pretty insanely built out SOPs to where someone can come in, which we've tested now multiple times with employees who have just come in the shop, never worked in this industry in their lives, and just said, read this document and start doing what it says and just stand back and watch them just perfectly execute. It's amazing.
Where do you put the SOPs and stuff in? Is that in just a Google Doc?
Yes, we build out some Google Docs. We were trying a bunch of the other platforms that are made for it, because I got into the lean stuff and investing into, you know, like Gemba Docs and all these other things that they had, which were okay, but just not at the level I wanted them to be. Like I built these things out pretty extensively now with, you know, a lot of organization, a lot of images, a lot of, you know, links to things, whatever else. Now Google has that vids platform, so now I can make little kind of Loom videos and stuff and toss them in there really fast. It's amazing. Like the learning resources we built out.
Wait, so the Google Doc, you can have a video right in there that you hit play.
Yeah. Google made their own version of Loom now. So now you can just toss that into a Google Doc fast. Yeah. It's amazing.
What's that called? Is that
it's called Google Vids.
Huh. Have you guys heard about Google Notebooks LM?
No, tell us.
In the age of AI, if we don't have a podcast with the word AI in it, whether it's Adobe Illustrator or artificial intelligence, was it a podcast? So Google Notebooks is a way for you to create your own ChatGPT or your own learning management system with only what you upload it. So essentially what you can do is you can create this Google Notebook. It's free. And then you can upload all of your SOPs to it. You can upload only your content to it. And it's actually meant for like podcasters and writers and bloggers, but then you can just like ask it based on the stuff that you feed it and only the stuff that you feed it. So we've been using it and I've been testing around and messing with it. Super rad.
That's it's interesting.
Google Notebooks.
That was kind of, it's on my list of stuff that like once I kind of get more of our SOPs built out, that I wanted to build like an internal AI chat kind of system that will be able to just pull information from that stuff real fast, which that sounds like exactly.
Someone can just text it and ask it versus text you.
Yeah.
Lee, your shop is your home or next to your home or adjacent to your home. How do you create space and separation from your business? Because I preach, get out of your shop.
Yeah,
You live next door to your shop. What is a day in the life? Like, what does your day look like?
Thankfully, that's going to change here soon. I bought a big piece of commercial property. I'm building a new shop soon. That's going to be, I'm going to have some separation finally. It's going to be amazing. But right now, there is no separation. And the hard part is it's the clients are the worst part, because the clients that know I live here, it seems like they have no boundaries. They just like, oh, he's home. So I'm just going to show up at 7 a.m. when he's trying to work out, or I'm going to show up at 7:30 at night when he's eating dinner and just ask him this question real fast. because I know he's there. That sucks. That happens quite often. But other than that, it's not bad. Like it's, I like it in a sense for when I have a good idea that I want to execute, I can just do it now. I don't have to really like put any effort into it. I got to just walk, you know, 30 seconds and it's happening. So that part is cool.
Do you ever shut it off?
No, never. That's something I'm trying to learn right now. That's the mind never stops. Like the hamster wheel is just spinning 100 miles an hour, 24 hours a day. And that's mainly because I'm just trying so hard to kind of build up the systems and everything I need to kind of get myself into a more ownership position rather than being an employee of the business. Cause you know, I got other stuff to work on with my personal life, my mental health and whatever else. And I'm trying to like create some time and space for that. And then also still have the business in a good position to where it's still growing and still succeeding and going whatever. So it's a lot right now, but you know, the next 6 months is going to be a hard grind. And after that, we'll see the payoff, I think.
So I'm jumping into that SOP thing again, just because a lot of people also say it's hard to get people to like, look at the docs or like, well, go look at that. Why are you asking me? Do you do anything? Like some people have put the QR codes nearby where they are. I don't know. It's part of maybe the new hire training is like showing this is here, but obviously, you know, you're the easiest path of least resistance. How do you push for that? And sorry, is it three people? I saw in the video, is it three other people helping you? Two people helping you?
What do we have now? We were at seven a couple of weeks ago, and then we just lost two. So we're at five now. The way we do it now is we've kind of doubled down on it. We do have the QR codes everywhere. So you put the answer where the question is always. That's the first thing. But we also have, we've just kind of introduced it now, brought Slack on board now, which is everybody knows what that is. And now we have a Slack channel full of SOPs and everything else. There's multiple ways you can find this stuff. So there's no excuse not to be finding it at this point.
No, I was going to ask like what parts of the business, if you could maybe share your like organizational structure, what parts of the business do you still actually have to touch and have your hands on versus things that you can have your hands off?
Well, I'm off production now, which is nice. So that's a lot off my plate. I'm still running some production because now we have a whole other business. We have the DTF transfer business where we're selling transfers to other shops. So I'm kind of running that.
We're
going
to put a pin in that one. We're coming back to that.
Yeah. So I'm running that right now. I had a guy doing that full time. We lost him. He was way overqualified for this job and he got a job in the field that he belonged in. He went to film school and all kinds of stuff. And this was a temporary stop for him. So I'm taking over that position for now, which is manageable because it doesn't really require a whole lot of my attention. I'm still doing some of the day-to-day basic stuff. So I'm getting the separations done for everybody. That's something I don't trust anyone with. I've tried all the services out there and they all do not come to anywhere near my standards. We send out the digitizing still. I still do the mock-ups. I do the sales and just the general communication stuff. But anything production related, I'm out now, which is great.
So customer facing, you're still in.
Yeah. So artwork, a little bit of production, still in. Pre-production I'm in and customer facing stuff I'm in.
Where do you think your next hires or placements are to try to elevate from there?
So the next one's going to be someone to kind of take over the junior artist type of stuff. So like mock-ups and print setup type of stuff, getting all that off my plate. Cause that's a lot of, I'm not adding value there. I can teach someone to do that at the level that I can do it pretty easily. So that'll be kind of the first one to get me out of it. And then sales will be the next. And then at that point, I think I can safely make my exit. I could be wrong. You guys would know better than me. So you're looking at me in silence like he's a fucking idiot.
Right? Oh, I mean, interesting. It's interesting to hear your perspective. And I think a lot of people value it. And you know, you're the screen printing industry's number one shitster. So let's go down. So, you know, I think it was like almost this time last year, you posted a really heartfelt video, super vulnerable, kind of sharing your story, your background, things that have happened in your past. You opened up about mental health. A year later, you know, how are things going? Can you reflect on that a little bit?
Much better. Much, much better than where I was at a year ago. That's for sure. I've kind of put a lot of time and effort into fixing my physical health first. So I dumped a ridiculous amount of money, built a full-blown gym in my house, gave myself no excuses. And I've put a lot of work and effort into that. Lost a shit ton of weight. I'm in great shape now, probably the best shape I've ever been in since I was like 20 years old, which is awesome. And that has made huge, huge steps in making my mental health better as well. just overall feeling better throughout the day. Kind of just it compounds, right? That's a big one for me. It's kind of a good stress reliever as well. It gives me a chance to kind of shut off from the business stuff for a little while and just focus on like the struggle of that and that alone, which is nice. And I've added a bunch of other stuff to the mix. I got a freaking sauna, a cold tub. Like I went all out, and all this stuff is making a massive, massive difference towards the mental health stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I've gotten significantly better. I've probably knocked off, like, out of all the problem areas and triggers and things like that, I've kind of knocked off a good like 30% of them to the where they don't bother me anymore, which is good. The big ones, obviously, I haven't been able to make too much progress with because I'm still buried in business work and things like that where I'm working nonstop. So I haven't been able to make tons and tons of strides on that type of stuff, which is, again, why I'm putting so much effort into what I'm doing now so that I can start working, you know, half a day or 2 days a week, 3 days a week, whatever I can, so I can take that extra time to start working on the bigger problems.
I got one more follow-up on that, and then Bruce, let you go. But like being vulnerable, opening it up as a male is publicly on the internet is something that must have been super hard to do. First of all, I applaud you for doing that because I think a lot of people struggle. Since you did that, what has your connection been like to your fans, your customers? Has it deepened? Have you resonated with a lot of them? Do you feel like you did it too late? Do you, you know, like walk us through that if you were to, because the decision you made to do that like exposed you a little bit, right? And it was like your armor was down. This like Lee Stewart, king of screen printing, is like opening up about this, right? What has that done for you since in the community, in your relationships? Talk to us about that.
It's definitely made life a lot easier, which is cool. Cause like when I put that video out, you can see the comments on there. It was like amazing. Just the amount of support that I got from people. Super, super cool to see everybody kind of back me up like that. And a lot of people open up with like things saying I've struggled with similar things or the same thing. And I've never talked about it before too. And you saying this now makes me feel better about it. And that was amazing to see. I really, really like that. As far as for myself, it made my life easier just because, you know, I was living, I wouldn't say living a lie, but I was keeping a secret for so long. Like that shit's hard to keep a secret. When you're dealing with people, and especially when you're kind of in the position where I'm in, where people are wanting you to come places and do this and that and whatever else, you got all these opportunities and offers and you're always kind of saying no, and nobody knows why. That made that a lot easier. It's made my personal life a little bit easier with letting new people in and things like that. Cause before I would keep that a secret from them as well. And now I'm just like, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm telling everybody, this is what it is. You like it? Cool. If you don't, fuck off. And it's kind of just taken a huge, huge weight off my shoulders and has made my journey in dealing with it and getting better with it much, much easier. It was a lot. It was when I was getting ready to put that out, I sat there, I made that video. It took me a whole day, I think, to film that video. I filmed it 3 or 4 times because I just kind of, there was no edits. I just talked the whole way through. That's the first time I've ever done that in a video ever. And I did it like 3 or 4 times because I just, every time I kept second guessing myself, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? And I didn't know what to do. And then I sat there after the finished video was done for a good week or two. Like, do I put this out? I don't know what to do. And I almost didn't. And then I just was, you know what? Fuck it. This has got to happen. I feel like this is something that I have to do to push myself forward. It was kind of the same thing with screen printing for me. When I started it, I knew nothing about the industry. I never printed a shirt in my entire life. And I just went ahead and dumped like $50,000 on equipment that I had no business touching and was like burn the ships type of situation. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to just dump everything I have into it. And there's no turning back. And I just looked at it the same way. I was like, man, if I'm going to do this, like, let's just put it out there. No turning back. And this will give me no excuses now to start working on this because people are going to expect me to start working on it now. And thankfully, that's the effect that it had. And I've been working real hard since. It's been awesome. So a lot of positive feedback, a lot of good stuff has come from it. But at the same time, there's been a small amount of bad shit that's come from it too. Like obviously the haters took that video and rolled with it. And I've gotten a lot of, some people say some shit that makes you shocked at what people are willing to say to other people on the internet that they would never say in real life. But other than that, it's been pretty amazing.
I think, you know, kind of echoing what Steven said too, I don't know how many people have, I think it's called agoraphoria that you have to the level they have it. But a lot of shop owners do deal with a lot of, I think, high amounts of anxiety and or burnout from just extreme work. And so first, definitely appreciate you being able to share, you know, your feelings and how you're going through that. But I'm kind of curious, like, you talk about how you were working on it. What does that mean? Like, especially in your, you know, your bubble of where you're at, like, is it like a meditation thing? Is it a medication thing? I don't know, whatever, like, you could share of the steps that you've been taking to get better.
Yeah. So it could mean different things for different people. Like, some people work well with medication. I do not. Some people work well with therapy. I do not. I'm very combative person. I got to do things my way. And so I've kind of had to carve my own path through this, because I've tried all the stuff over the years. And I kind of talk about that in the video, and just nothing has worked for me. And I've tried every avenue that's out there. And at this point, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to come up with my own way to deal with this. And so I came up with my own plan, and my own plan heavily involved, you know, the cold tub and the fitness and doing all this stuff. It was forms of exposure therapy, essentially. So you're exposing yourself to things that make you uncomfortable, that trigger that response in your body, essentially. So starting off small with exercise, because exercise was a big one originally. You know, once you kind of get your heart rate going and you're breathing heavy, you're at that line of having a panic attack, right? So you're getting yourself there on a regular basis, getting used to that feeling, to where all of a sudden that feeling doesn't bother you and doesn't trigger panic anymore. So that's something that I worked, that took a lot of work for me to do. Like, I was so out of shape too. I was fat as hell. I was like 50 pounds overweight. So I could hardly do anything in there, and it would start triggering that response. And now it's to the point where my program is intense as hell, where we're doing like full speed 100-mile-an-hour CrossFit workouts, and I can kind of get through them without dying. And I'm, you know, on that verge of panic level, but like miles ahead of where I was at last year, where I'm doing like, you know, 10 dumbbell presses and I'm sitting there clutching my water bottle for safety. It's gotten pretty awesome that way. And then just more forms of exposure therapy. The cold tub's been a big one, because I don't know if you've ever jumped in an ice bath before, but that first 10 seconds you're in there, it kicks the shit out of you, and you're struggling not to have a panic attack. Even a normal person is. You get that feeling, hyperventilating going on, all the shock, everything else. So doing that every morning has made me more accustomed to the feeling that when a panic attack does come on, I can kind of navigate around it a little bit easier, because I'm used to it and I know how to get through it a little bit better. And then as far as the agoraphobia part, that's just going to take the most time, because that's breaking a lot of bad mental habits in your head. So that's going to just involve, again, more exposure therapy, going out to a place where you feel like you're uncomfortable, sitting there, dealing with it, come back, do it again the next day to a little bit less uncomfortable, then go somewhere a little bit further, or go somewhere a little more uncomfortable, and just keep repeating that over and over and over again until eventually the cycle breaks.
Wow. Do you actively do that? Like, try to leave, go a little bit farther? Like, are you actively doing that now?
Yeah. I've been doing little bits of it. Not as much as I should, because I've only got so much time right now to do it. So whenever I can squeeze it in, like a couple times a week, I can get out there and do it. I went out and bought a brand new truck just for that purpose. I needed a big tax write-off last year, and I was like, man, I'm gonna buy my dream truck right now. I had a real good year. Things are going well. Everything's on the right path. What's the dream truck? I bought a Yukon ATC or AT4 Ultimate. So it's an off-road Escalade, essentially. Like, that's a new one from GMC that has all the bells and whistles. The thing's got fucking massaging seats in it. It's insane. So I went and bought this extravagant vehicle. And again, that was another thing that was like, you know, no turning back. Now I just spent six figures on a vehicle. I need to be driving it, because if I don't, I'm an idiot. So yeah, I've been doing that as much as I can. And also too, like, it was another comfort thing, right? I thought to myself, you know, if I'm going to freak out on the side of the road somewhere, I'm going to do it with like three TVs around me and massaging seats. So,
Lee, do you connect with anyone that struggles with the same things to try and like work on best practices?
Yeah, it's actually been cool. I've had like, agoraphobia is not common. It's a very rare form of panic disorder. So it's not something I expected to be connecting with many people on, but I've had a very small handful of like three or four people now that are dealing with that in secret in the industry. And it's been pretty cool to kind of like give them some help and advice on things that have helped me along the way.
That's super powerful. That's super, super powerful. Well, it's been inspiring to watch, which has been really cool. You've had a change of heart about direct to film, publicly calling you out on that. And now you have launched Rogue Transfers.
Wait, what was the thoughts before?
I was very anti-DTF, very anti-DTF. I couldn't stand it.
And now you bought a machine and you're selling transfers.
Yeah, it was.
What the hell?
It was kind of one of those moments where it's funny too, because people are like, oh, you're like, you like DTF now. And I'm like, no, I still don't. I still don't, but I'll sell it. Cause like personally, I like, and this is just more of a personal thing, right? So I'm a screen printer. I've worked hard to get good at screen printing. I love the craft of screen printing and everything that's involved in it and the end product of it when it's done well. It's just amazing. Nothing can touch it. It's the best quality available. No disputing that. So that's just my thing. Like my thing is making the best of the best anytime I can. And DTF will never, ever do that. However, as a business owner, you kind of got to learn to get the fuck out of your own way sometimes. Cause a lot of business owners I've seen in this industry, especially, like, they won't print for certain segments of people or certain religious groups or political groups or whatever the fuck it is. They got a million different reasons. They won't print different stuff. And, they're just kind of, they're narrowing their customer base essentially, right? They're limiting their way to make money. And that's, at the end of the day, as a business owner, that should be your final goal, is to make as much money as you possibly can so that you can give yourself, your employees, everyone involved, their lives. That's everything revolves around money at the end of it. And I saw a gap up here, at least when it came to selling DTF transfers. And I had an opportunity to get this machine. And I was like, I know I can do this better than the place that is supplying me currently right now. Cause we use a little bit of it in the shop. Like, we're not dead against it. There's applications where I think it's awesome for, like, you know, hats and bags and places that would be very hard to screen print, or short run orders, things like that, where it does make sense to use it. So we were using a fair bit, and their ordering system was terrible, and everything about the whole process I didn't like. And then their customer service and everything else. And I just knew I could do this better. And so I went after it, and sure enough, it took off overnight immediately. It's crazy. That machine runs 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, to the point now where I'm in talks. I got to add a second one now.
Wow. So would you say that the transfer business could be bigger than your screen printing business?
I had that conversation 2 days ago where I think it's a possibility that this could be a thing, because, and again, this is, I'm going to have to get over myself in the industry, because DTF, you're seeing it more and more and more, and you're seeing it more in applications where you don't think you would see it. Like, you're starting to see higher end merchandise with DTF on it, which is crazy. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, it's going to be a threat to screen printing at some point. Like, the technology is moving so fast and there's so many people involved in it that it is going to get really, really good over the next few years. And it may go that direction. So I want to be a part of that if that's the case. And I think it does have the capability of doing so. Cause right now, like, we're pushing that machine to capacity with zero advertising. We have a group of maybe 150 customers, and they're keeping that thing running nonstop. If I actually start pushing ads or putting this on my YouTube channel, or really like start promoting it, I've maybe made, I don't know, 10 Instagram stories about the existence of this business. That's it. And it's to the point now we can't keep up. Oh, very. We're not as profitable as like some of them. Like, some people are selling retail cost. We're selling wholesale. So obviously it's nowhere near as profitable, because I knew my audience is all print shop owners. So I have to target that.
And it's not that competitive in Canada.
No, it's not, which is crazy. There's a handful of places doing it. There's one heavy hitter that's kind of owning the space right now. And we're starting to take small chunks out of their business a little bit. We've converted a handful of their customers, which has been awesome.
And getting into wholesaling transfers, like, that is a completely different business than screen printing. What work did you do ahead of time before you went live? Like, testing, color profiling? Like, I wholesaled transfers once to a friend and it royally messed up their order. Sorry, Justin Lawrence. And I have decided to never sell transfers for a shop for anyone else again. That's a pretty risky thing to do. What all did you do to get into that ahead of time? Like, how much work went into that?
The biggest part was making the ordering process as easy as possible and as smooth as possible. So we built an online gang sheet builder that, you know, stores people's information, stores all the designs they've ever put on there. It connects with their Canva account, their Dropbox account. It does like a whole bunch of stuff that makes the order process very simple. So they can not only make an order, but they can come back and reorder any of those designs at any time and build a gang sheet in a matter of seconds. So that was the biggest one, was making sure that they can get in and out as quickly as possible. Because that was the biggest pain point for me when ordering DTF. That competitor's ordering system was absolute dog shit. It was terrible. And there was too many spots for error that could come up. And it did come up multiple times. So I made sure we had something that was error proof. That was the biggest one. After that, we spent not a ton of time color profiling, because RB Digital, who we work with up here, they had already done all that. They spent a ton of time profiling out that Mamaki printer. They did an amazing job at it. And after that, I did very, very minimal tweaks. I changed like 2% of what was in there, just to my liking, just to be a dick. Other than that, it was really just kind of learning how to operate that machine and maintain it and take care of it, because those things are temperamental, I'm sure you know. And you know, making sure that this thing could stay running every day. But as far as launching that thing, it was a lot of work on the back end of the website stuff, because that was where I was new and didn't really know a whole lot, and I had to learn and build and test for a couple months. But once it came down to production, that's where my wheelhouse is strong, and we got that knocked out pretty quick.
Steven, I don't know if you saw Steven's presentation about making transfers. Well, Steven, what's the synopsis so you can get Lee's thoughts?
It's hell. I mean, granted, we were very much early adopters. We got machines that weren't, I think Mamaki runs one of the most stable machines. I'm going to go out and say that. And it's an enterprise, well-built machine. But I mean, you know, we have a graveyard of old machines and parts. We're now humming. But it was absolutely a struggle, and I'm going to get a text or a DM after this saying like, what machine do you recommend? I have a melting pot of machines, and so I'm not a good use case of what you need to buy out of the box. Would you recommend a shop buy a DTF machine now, Lee?
I don't know. It depends, right? So I don't think it's advantageous for shops to buy and own a machine unless they are putting out that much volume of transfers for where it makes sense. And I don't think a lot of shops are. Some shops are doing it to where they've replaced their screen printing operation with DTF. One of them was a huge shop up here, a friend of mine, Sean from Printies. They got rid of all their screen printing. They had autos in that shop, everything. They've completely moved over to digital. They have DTG and DTF, and that's all. So he went and bought an army of Mamaki printers, and that's all he's got going on. So someone like that, it does make sense. If you're still screen printing, embroidering, you know, doing other stuff, it makes more sense to outsource, just because the cost of buying those transfers is so damn cheap. It just doesn't make sense to own and maintain the machine and learn it and all the other stuff. So unless you're doing a crazy volume every month, let's say you're buying $5,000 to $8,000 in transfers a month, maybe start looking at a machine of your own. If you're not, there's no reason to ever own it.
Wait, what if you started over? I mean, what if you were 5 years ago? You know, I remember you got the manual, you worked with Riley Hopkins with the manual, then the Rock maybe 2 or 3 years ago or something. What would you be buying? Would you be buying the same stuff again, or would it be different now?
No, I'd still go the same path, because that's how I did start. I started off with screen printed transfers, and that's how I made enough money to buy screen printing equipment. Screen printing is still the top dog, and it's still going to be for at least the next 10 years, I think, minimum. It's still the fastest production method, the highest quality production method. That is not going to change for quite a long time. So if you're doing volume, screen printing is still the way. But when it comes to the orders of, you know, 24 pieces or less, or even maybe 48 pieces or less, some people are doing things like that, it's starting to make more sense to go the DTF route, just because of the ease of use. Like if you get a 48 piece order for an 8-color print, that's a lot of setup time. So you might want to go DTF on that route. And yeah, just, or the case, like how I did, if you wanted to build a business, then now it's a lot easier to do that, because you can do these super vibrant high color count prints with nothing but a heat press and a good supplier.
To your point, like Steven and I were talking about, if you got started again, of buying a nicer heat press, some sort of shuttle heat press, or one of the like East West, the circular ones, and buying the transfers, and subbing out bigger work, would you go down that path too, or you think you'd still go down the manual press to the auto?
I personally wouldn't, because I don't like subbing out work. I've never done it, never will. I like putting my stamp on it, having my control over it, having, you know, my systems and operations and just everything involved in it. That all goes out the window when you sub stuff out. You have to rely on somebody else too much. And I don't like that personally. I know a lot of people do. It's funny because I would never do it, but we take a ton of contract work from other shops at the same time because they trust us to do it. Because we are so picky about that type of shit, but I would never do it that way. I would still aim for screen printing personally, because at the end of the day, it depends on your goals, I guess, right? So my goal is to have a big shop doing big volume, doing, you know, a lot of business. And you got to be doing screen printing to do that. There's just no way around it. So that's the way I would still go.
Let's talk about that dream state. So you bought a piece of land, and what's crazy is you just built your new shop. Like, I mean, it's finally humming, and now you're busting at the seams.
That's great, by the way.
It is sick. What does your business look like 3 years from now? Could you paint a picture for us?
Oh yeah, dude, I've got this thing mapped out down to the letter of exactly what it's going to be. So yeah, it's kind of crazy because we ran out of space in the shop for 6 months I was here, which I've been here now almost 3 years. Absolutely insane. And now it's, yeah, to the point where we have no room for nothing. We're just constantly playing a game of Tetris in there, trying to figure out how to operate. And it's tough. The new shop is going to be much, much bigger. So my current shop, a lot of people think it's bigger than it is. It's not. It's like 1,250 square feet. It's pretty small. My new shop is going to be around 8,000-ish. So quite a big difference. We're going to have a separate floor for offices and sales team and all kinds of other stuff. So we're going to have like 6,000 square feet purely dedicated to production and nothing else. So that's going to be a huge, huge change for me, actually being able to, now that I know how to build systems and processes, and now that I know kind of the structure of how lean manufacturing works, I can actually build a shop that operates properly, that, you know, does everything with the least amount of resistance, getting it in and out the door kind of thing. Right now we got everything just jammed into, you know, we got 10 pounds of shit jammed in a 5-pound bag. It only fits in one way. So we just got to deal with it. So that's going to be a huge, huge change for us. So that alone is going to change everything. That's the one variable that I don't think I can really map out, because I just don't know how much more efficient we are going to get. I know it's going to be a lot, but like, I think it's going to be more than what I can quantify in my head.
Just like how many autos will be in there? Like, yeah, give us what, with, because I'm guessing like 5 years from now you could outgrow that, or are you thinking like, I want to hit a business sweet spot and start saying no to stuff? Like, yeah, what does that actually look like?
So I did plan ahead for that. I bought a big enough piece of property that I can expand on for a very long time. I have enough room to build up to 40,000 square feet. So I think I'm good. If I get to the point where I need something new after that, then yeah, I don't think I really have many problems in life, but it's going to be pretty crazy. I think we're going to be at around, I'm guessing by the time that shop is up and operational, we'll probably be at a staff of around 12 to start, and then start filling out more positions, adding more salespeople or some customer service or things like that. I think there's going to be more admin and office related stuff going into there, because our production is super lean now and super tight to where we don't need that many. The equipment thing is the one that's kind of, I'm struggling with right now in the back of my head, and I shouldn't be, because I'm a year or more, maybe 2 years away from buying more stuff to put in there. But in the back of my mind right now, I'm having a bit of a fight between screen printing and digital again, which is weird. I'm kind of looking at it as like, where is this going to go? Where's the business going to go? Where's the industry going to go? Is it going to go more print on demand, or is the volume thing still going to be a major thing? I don't know. And I'm looking at machines that, you know, could maybe serve two purposes. I already have a big 10 color auto. That's awesome. And my original plan for this was to get a 16 or an 18 in there, like a big oval press to put beside it so that we can take on anything that comes through the door. And just, it's a vanity piece for me. I'm not going to lie. I want something fucking big and awesome that I can print whatever pops into my head. But then I started looking at some of this bigger digital stuff. You know, you got like the Rock Now, and you got the M&R Polaris and all that type of stuff. And I'm looking at this thinking like, is this maybe the way to go? Like, is it maybe going to go more print on demand and we can run systems like that? Or, you know, how much faster could we produce the smaller, you know, 48 piece, 200 piece orders that come through the door that have 4 to 6 colors. Like, could we just knock those out on this and not have to make screens or register or do all this other stuff? Like, would we be more efficient with something like this? Cause they're running at like, you know, 300, 400 pieces an hour. So that's where I'm kind of struggling with right now is trying to figure out where to go. Cause it's going to depend on where the industry goes.
How do you budget and plan for this, knowing that you're going like, yeah, how do you pay for something like this? How do you make smart financial decisions? Did you have a number where like, I need to have this much in the bank before I can go do that? Because I feel like a lot of shops get super busy. They go buy a new building, buy equipment, and they build for the valleys and or they build for the peaks, and then the valleys hit and they're kind of stuck with their pants down a little bit. So like, how have you thought about this from like a financial, this is a smart financial move?
Well, one thing that worked out for me is I started off this business really poor and I've learned how to like build up just straight up cash. I've never financed anything before for the most part. So I've kind of learned how to be a little more patient with making moves and things like that. And that's one thing that I definitely do is I don't finance to the gills. I want to make sure I've got enough money down to like, you know, obviously something like this, there's financing involved. I'm not going to go dump $2-3 million in a building just because I have that laying around. YouTube isn't paying that well. you know, I make sure I've got enough set up there and have a safety net. I want to make sure that I have a safety net of like 6 months of wages and expenses ready to go just in case shit hits the fan. Let's say nobody comes in for the next 4 to 6 months. I want to make sure I can pay for that just in case kind of thing. So I've always kind of prepared for the worst along the way. And I'm doing that now again. So like this was something that I probably should have started doing a year and a half ago. And I waited until now because I wanted to wait until I was a little bit more set up, a little more established, a little more ready to go for it. So I've taken a lot of safety precautions and then it's just a game of patience really, right? So when you get the building and everything else out of the way, you start thinking about buying equipment, whatever. I think some people might just take off too much. They just bite off too much at once and they essentially fuck themselves. Whereas I'm going to struggle with, you know, our production might not be as fast or we might not fill this building out. It's going to look like we got way too big of a building for the equipment we have, whatever. If I got to put the equipment I have in a bigger space and just leave it as is for 6 months to a year, I'll go ahead and do that just to get ourselves in the right position to where I can go up and buy a big piece of equipment like that and it not be a risk.
You know, that's funny. When I started in business, I have my business partner, Jed, and we were in this tiny 1500 square foot top second floor. We were running on a Lawson Trooper. And immediately I was like, we need to buy a bigger building, bigger presses. We need to do all these things. And Jed would just tell me, when you have $500,000 in the bank, we started with $100,000 when we started. He goes, when you have $500,000 in the bank, we can talk. And that was like dad basically telling me like, we're going to push this all through, make as much money, do whatever. But truthfully, when we went to buy our building and when we went to buy, we bought a lot of stuff in cash. And that was there was a lot of wisdom there. And the fact that there's no debt on our presses or any of our equipment in our shop is a big deal. And, you know, something that that was like a hard lesson that I learned. And now I understand why. Right.
Yeah. It's smart.
Because you can finance anything nowadays.
Oh, you really can. Like they're to take your money. So it's not difficult. Yeah. Building up assets and like leveraging assets too, like building up equity and things that you can use to put towards stuff and whatever else. Like there's so many different ways to do it. I'd have investments completely outside the industry and things like that. That's a backup safety net. You know, I got the stock market and crypto investments and things like that, that are doing stuff in the background just to give me that extra peace of mind that like, okay, if something happens, I got this little nugget just chilling here. Just in case. it's something that it freaks me out. Cause like, again, I started off this business broke as hell and I've never had money before. And so it's a lot to learn how to deal with it and not deal with it like an idiot. Cause now a lot you of
got
people
the,
probably do.
Now you got the Yukon Ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a truck that I never thought I'd afford.
We did it. I got last two questions, Lee. with the DTF stuff. So there's 7 people. Well, before the 2 left, what were in the order of the first 7 that you brought on, what roles were they for?
Oh yeah. So the first person I brought on was an assistant, like a press assistant. So his job was reclaim, you know, washing squeegees, all that type of stuff, helping me set up and tear down the press. That I think in a screen print operation is your first hire. Any shop anywhere in the world, because that is a task, a process that the owner is adding literally no fucking value to at all. That's something that we can train someone to do within a day and do it well. Get that off your plate immediately. So that was the very first one I did. If I started over, I'd do it 10 times over. The second one I did was I hired somebody to run the embroidery machine because I couldn't run both machines at once. I was doing that for a while, running, like set up a job on the machine and then run over to the auto and run something until it stopped and then run back to the other one. And making those last back and forth around the shop. So I trained someone to run embroidery first, because I was looking at the two tasks and I was like, well, embroidery is definitely a lot easier to learn, especially we have a machine that automates a lot of the task for you. So this is basically, this is a simple job. I can teach someone to do this within a week. Sure enough, we can now. We've got everything so systemized that anyone can hop in there and do it. Very, very simple. So that was the next one. And then I hired a screen printer. That was the hardest one. That was a valuable lesson for me, that one. And I'm still learning it. We just learned it because that was one of the guys we just lost. And it was a situation, which Steve told me to read this book, Traction. It was a situation where it was wrong person, wrong seat, but I was given too many fucking chances. I was just way too patient with this person. And that patience ran out. But man, it was crazy. Like, definitely getting myself out of it regardless was very helpful to the business. Like, once I got him, it took a very, very, very long time to train him. He was not someone who retained information well, but once he was able to kind of run on his own, that elevated the business so quickly once I wasn't on the press anymore, because I was focused on our customer service and our sales and our marketing and things like that. And all of a sudden just business shot up. That was massive. So yeah, that was really good. And then we just lost him a couple weeks ago and I was shit my pants for a second. Like, what are we going to do? Like, I got to go through that whole fucking process again. That was so painful to teach this guy and everything else. And well, it turns out his assistant, who's our reclaim guy, was secretly a ringer, man. he was paying attention to all the lessons that I was teaching in the background without really being a part of it. He hopped on that press. I'm not shitting you. This was his very first day. Here's an 8-color simulated process. Register this. Let me know when it's done. And I walked away. I didn't say shit else. Dude, I was expecting that to be just like a whole day of him just fighting, trying to figure shit out and whatever else. I get a text about 30 minutes later. It's done. What do you mean? It's done. He's like, it's done. It's registered. It's test printed. It's clean. Come check it out. Let me know if I'm good to print. I was like, what the fuck do you mean? I thought someone was playing a joke on me. I run out there. This thing is perfect right out of the gate. I was like, and you did this in 30 minutes, your first time ever touching this press, never printed a shirt in your entire life. And he's like, I don't know. I just like followed, you know, the SOPs and listened to some of the stuff you're teaching the other guy and whatever else. And he's like, I've been here long enough. I've kind of been paying attention. And I was like, dude, that's fucking impressive. Like, yeah, you're my new press operator. And so he graduated.
Wow.
Very cool.
Lee, what are shops, before Bruce asks his last couple, what are shops to look out for in the next year? Shops that you look up to, you can call out your besties or your friends or whoever, but who is on the up and up? Who's doing it right? Yeah, call them out.
Oh, well, definitely Superior Inc. is doing stuff right. Dom and his team are killing it. That's one of the benchmarks for me personally, as like someone that I look up to and aspire to get to, like just the way that they run that whole business. The new branding they rolled out recently, the new website they rolled out recently. I've been stalking all this shit because I'm in the middle of doing all that same stuff. And it's just so well put together. Super, super awesome. I know he's got Ryan on his team now and that guy's a fucking wizard. So yeah, those guys are absolutely killing it. I can definitely see them doing some real big stuff.
Dom's going to listen to this, call a doctor for him after 4 hours. He's going to make Dom's day. Dom and Superior crush it.
No, they're cool. Absolutely killing it. The way that whole business runs and the way it's all put together, at least from an outside perspective, is like.
Lee, who are you learning from? Who are you learning from? Like, who do you talk to that you're bouncing ideas off of? I mean, you've got a lot of great networks in the industry, but yeah, where do you find inspiration, education, support, that kind of stuff?
I think my favorite of everybody is John McGee. John McGee is amazing. That guy is a wealth of knowledge. He knows absolutely everything. He is fucking screen printing Gandalf. Anytime me and him, like if I pick up the phone and call John, I know I'm sitting down for the next couple hours for sure. we're getting into some real nerd shit for a while. And I've learned so much about the industry from him, just like things that I never thought I would ever know or need to know. It's given me a lot more appreciation for the history of the industry as well. Just overall amazing, amazing human being, wealth of knowledge, super good guy. And yeah, just, I really enjoy talking to John.
Favorite blank that you're printing on right now.
We're going to get specific. T, sweatshirt. What are we talking here? T-shirt. Right now, my favorite blank to print on, which print wise would be, you guys don't have them down there. It's a Canadian brand. It's called the CX2 Rugged. They make, it's a 280 GSM streetwear tee, super, super tight woven, heavyweight cotton shirt that prints phenomenally. You could put Stevie Wonder on a press and he would get a glass smooth print on this thing. Like, they are incredible. And they just look and feel super nice. Not my style. I'm not the oversized printwear or oversized streetwear type of guy, but man, as far as something to work with, that is my favorite.
All right, Bruce, any final thoughts, questions?
Yeah, my last one. This year, we're a little bit more than halfway done, but what do you think is the biggest accomplishment you guys have done this year, or you've done this year?
Well, I think personally is, outside of the business, is like getting my physical health in check. That's been a huge accomplishment for me. I'm super proud of the fact that I've been able to do it, maintain it, and stay disciplined in that area, because it's very hard to do, and a lot of people can. I'm very happy about that because that's something I always struggled with. And yeah, that's something that I'm really proud of right now. As far as business is concerned, definitely taking the leap and buying that property. I've got 1.5 acres of fresh commercial property just chilling there ready for our future. That's a big accomplishment that I thought was going to take longer than it did. And by the time this new building's done, I've got plans. I got, you know, schematics of this building and what it's going to look like and everything else like this. We're going to build a spectacle.
Pumped to see it. You got to document it and share it online.
That we are definitely going to do. That's something that, again, why I'm trying to get myself out of the day to day as much as possible, because I want to get back to what I like to do. And I like to help people and make YouTube videos and do cool shit like that. And that's part of, what we're going to be doing in the new shop is obviously documenting the process of that thing going up, but we have some other stuff launching. Like, I've been doing the coaching stuff now for about 2 years, and we're going to kind of take that to a bigger level. I'm going to launch something called Rogue Academy, where we're going to be doing more group stuff. We're going to be doing in-person classes at the new shop, which will be cool. And one big thing for me, and it's a goal on my list that I'm working towards, is building a section in that shop with my own press, my own setup that nobody touches. And that's just mine to go play with and make videos and just do what I want. So I don't have to deal with, you know, halting production for anything. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a screen printer. If I become a big time business owner, like, I still want to go experiment. I want to learn how to do crazy special effects and things like that, that, you know, really difficult and take a lot of knowledge to do, but like, aren't really, it's not going to be a day-to-day big seller in the business. It doesn't help the business, me learning that stuff, but I just want to do it because I want to know it. I want to be a good screen printer and I want to teach people how to do this stuff.
Love it.
Every time we chat, it's just super cool getting to know you better. You being vulnerable, talking about things, you've influenced the industry a ton. The haters can say what they want. They probably have their own problems they don't want to share. That's okay. But we appreciate you and everything you've done. And it's a goal of mine to get Lee Stewart by the end of our careers to a trade show. We're going to get you there.
Oh, we'll make that happen. I'll make that promise. We'll make that happen. We'll get me at a Print Hustlers or something one of these days.
Yeah. You heard it here live.
We gotta talk about one other thing. Bruce, did you hear Steven turned me down for coaching a while back?
I turned
him down. Really? Asked him to coach me. He shot me down.
Well, I know Steven only takes a couple at a time.
I need you to coach me.
Yeah, I needed to learn about the business and get where you're at.
We're good. I don't know if I can handle it. I would get too invested. I have to learn how to say no. No, but it's cool. I think, like, you know, we built Fabric. You've been coaching. I've been coaching. Kevin's been coaching. That's why this industry is so special. Is we're all in this together. So
yeah, I love the sharing of information.
Your traction book.
I've read it already twice.
Bruce is still on like chapter 8. All right.
I got through the most important stuff. Thanks for Nostros. We appreciate you. Thank you, Lee. You can find Lee Stewart on Instagram and YouTube. Follow the journey. It's awesome. And have a great week. See you guys in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.